making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, it's a Friday morning here on Zolak and Bertrand. No Zolak, no Bertrand. So as Dan Shaughnessy so aptly put it on Twitter just a few minutes ago, the Bum of the Month Club week at 98.5 The Sports Hub. You've got me, Matt McCarthy, and Dan Shaughnessy filling in for the next 4 hours. You locked and loaded? You ready to go, Dan?
It is, and everybody knows it's Bum of the Month Club week. Every outlet in New England, around the world, around the country, I mean, it's just like, yeah, we're the fill-in guys. And, you know, you are what you are. It's okay to admit it. You know, the stars are not here.
Yeah.
So we're going to do our best with 4 action-packed hours.
I hope Zolak and Bertrand don't have too many ratings bonuses tied into this one here with you and me today. 617.
I wish Sarge was staying. I'm trying to talk him into it.
Can we get you some overtime?
Oh, jeez.
My goodness.
I thought you were in it for the love of the game, man.
See what he says on that.
Yeah. Headlines, man.
All right. So it's me and Dan Shaughnessy. Hi, Dan. How are you? Hope you had a Merry Christmas. I'm doing well.
Yeah.
So, hey, your Hall of Fame ballot is due on Monday. First and foremost, like, how do you send that in? Is it like carrier pigeon?
It's interesting. I mean, for those of you watching the simulcast here, I don't know. I'll hold this up to one of these things.
But this is a big ballot reveal here.
I've checked off Mariano Rivera because everyone needs to do that when they get their ballot. That's pretty obvious. Not a real hard one there. And I'm waiting to decide what to do with the rest of it because it could go back just like it is now. But what interests me is that this thing, it looks like something. If you went down to Groton Town Hall in like 1860 to vote for Andrew Johnson versus Abraham Lincoln, this is what the ballot looked like.
Are you suggesting that perhaps the BBWAA and maybe baseball as a whole has struggled to move into the 21st century? That's a ridiculous assumption, Dan.
Tells you how archaic and old-timey and stodgy and get off my lawn. It's just how we are. I mean, only the BBWAA still conducts elections in this format. So, yes, it is an old-timey ballot, and you check your boxes, and you put down your number and your name, and you print, and then it has to be postmarked by the 31st, which would be Monday night. So I'm going to mail it probably Saturday. That's tomorrow.
So you've got decisions to make this
weekend. I do. And I've actually put the word out to some Hall of Famers. I've called some guys. I tend to be, I'm a hardliner. And you and I are going to talk about the steroid wall, which I almost came down off that wall last year, and I'm not doing it. You can try for 4 hours, but
you
need me on that wall, and you want me on that wall.
I don't want you on that wall.
And but you know, there's guys independent of that. Just to me, the hard ones this year. Edgar Martinez. This has been a long-standing thing. He's going to get in. He's over 70%. I don't hold the DH against him. I've never voted for him. He'll get in with or without me. I'm just, you know, my son's been banging me over the head about this for forever. He loves Edgar. He gets support from guys I've talked to. He's always been a big kind of the saber metric people, the young folks like that. And hey, I mean, the man knocked in 100 runs 6 out of 7 years in his heyday, including 145 in the year 2000. And I don't hold the DH against anybody, really. It's a position. Some guys do, and I understand talking to some players. There's a little resentment about that, and of course when David Ortiz comes up in 3 or 4 years, you know, he'll sail in, independent of everything, and the DH being part of that, not a big deal. But the Edgar thing, in my view, and you and I talked a little bit backstage off this, I just think his power numbers are a little bit. I think of him as a corner infielder when he was playing, and what he is, and just that his numbers are somewhat suppressed, you know, 309
home runs as a designated hitter. You can kiss my ass with that. That's a Hall of Famer. I'm sorry, you can't. And he's going to get in. And you know, listen, that's the way it is. He's over 70%. But when you've got a guy who has only 309 home runs as a designated hitter, couldn't play the field, and I'm with you, Dan. I generally don't hold the DH thing. Listen, the DH has been in the game since the early to mid 70s. Like, we've had generations of players. at that position. It's time to let the best of the best in, but you need to be able to do something. You need to be able to have a little bit of pop if you can't play the field. I mean, how many home runs did Robbie Alomar have? And he, you know, probably around the same number of home runs that Edgar Martinez had. And, oh, yeah, he played Gold Glove second base. Like, if you can't play the field, you got to be able to do something. And if you only hit 309 home runs, I'm sorry. That's not a Hall of Famer in my view.
No, it's dicey. So Edgar is a guy that, you know, and like I said, Mariano Rivera is getting in, obviously. It'll be close to unanimous. There's a great story by Poznanski on The Athletic about the whole unanimity thing and the history of that, why it doesn't happen, and there's no really good reason for certain guys, but just going over that history that it's never happened, that'll come up again when Rivera comes, I don't know, one or two or three votes shy, whatever it is. And I think that Roy Halladay has become a guy who's his first year in the ballot and, you know, won the Cy Young in both leagues. His win total is very suppressed for a starter. It's in the low 200s, like 208 or something.
Might even be 203. It's really low.
We're supposed to view that through the new prism of, you know, guys don't start 40 games, right, and you have five-man rotations, and the win total is really going to get suppressed, so we keep going with openers and just the way pitching is being handled now. The win totals are really going to be suppressed. We're not going to see, you know, the Maddox with, you know, 350 and even Don Sutton, who wasn't that good, 325, and just guys, the magic 300 is going to be very, very hard to achieve.
So you might never see a pitcher get to 300 again, to be totally honest, in this day and age.
Yep.
And we're going to have to reevaluate. You know, you have those benchmark numbers when it comes to evaluating Hall of Famers, right? 500 home runs, 3,000 hits, 300 wins. That 300 win thing is going to go away, and we're going to have to evaluate an entire generation of pitchers in a very different light than we once did. So I think Halladay is an interesting case. It kind of sounds to me like you're, and again, I know you only have one name checked off on that ballot.
So far.
It sounds to me like you're considering over the weekend putting Halladay down.
Well, the guys, the guys that I do consider, and again, I take away the steroid guys, and I know there's a lot of issues about that and the fairness of it and whatnot. It's weird to have a Hall of Fame without Barry Bonds with Harold Baines.
I mean, right. That's absurd.
Kind of a, what kind of a world are we living in? You know, you don't want to, this is not supposed to be the Hall of Very Good, and we understand all those things. So that gets to be an issue. But I think that the bubble guys, you know, you always look at, you know, last year's ballot and who was closest, and that kind of tells you who the bubble guys are going to be.
Right,
and,
Mussina.
You know, last year, you know, Chipper, Vladdy, Tomei, and Hoffman, they got in over 75%. And Edgar was at 70.4%. So very close. Mussina was next. Clemens, then Bonds, then Schilling, then Vizquel, Walker, McGriff, Manny, Kent, Sheffield, Wagner, Roland, Sosa, and Andrew Jones. Those are the ones returning on the ballot. And to that mix, you have added the new guys, of which Halladay is the one getting the most attention.
All right, 617-779-0985. Matt McCarthy and Dan Shaughnessy hanging out with you in Zolak and Bertrand's place today. We have to get to it, Dan. The steroid guys, you mentioned it a few times. You're still a no. I know last year you said you were wavering.
Very close.
You were very close to coming down from the wall. Why not this year? Why are you and the likes of John Heyman and the old guard out there, why are you still keeping the best players in the history of baseball out of the Hall of Fame when Harold Baines, as you mentioned, guys like Harold Baines are in, why are Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens still out?
Well, you start off with the notion that by definition, you know, all voters are jackasses, so we get that. And everybody gets to have at it and the whole thing. No one has the perfect formula for this. It's a great argument. It's a topic. We can go back and forth. It doesn't make anybody evil or a bad guy. And I understand, you know, some of the unfairness of that. Going back to the Pete Rose thing, we never had a vote on Pete Rose. Pete Rose was taken off the ballot. And some guys protested that and sent in blank ballots, and there was a push on that. Pete Rose's hits are still in the Hall of Fame. Same with all these guys. If you're not in the Hall of Fame, your numbers don't go away. Your stuff's there. Your memorabilia's there. Pete Rose is all over the Hall of Fame, including usually signing autographs outside the Hall of Fame at any given time. And he has a great signature because it's Pete Rose. It's 8 letters. He can do it very quickly. He can do a million, which has been his friend over the years. So that happened. And then you had this surge with the steroid guys. And, of course, you know, McGuire, Sosa from 1998 leading the charge. And Mark McGuire was on the ballot with 583 home runs and you know, his admission of going back to Andro and whatnot, and he was very ultimately very contrite, which he was not in the hearing in 2003 when he's I'm here to talk about the past.
Yeah.
That hearing was 2005,
I think. Five,
and you know, because Shill's up there with them and Sosa and the five of them. But and I think that we're seeing the numbers for the top guys, and again, the best pitcher and hitter of their generation, Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds, they're at 57% and 56%.
7 years in, this their seventh year on the ballot.
So seven, they have three more years after this year. That's going to be really interesting because they need to get to 75. If they don't get there in 10 years, they're off the ballot, and then they go to those veterans committees, which is how Lee Smith and Harold Baines, poor Harold, got in this year. And last year that was Jack Morris and Trammell. I always voted for Morris. Morris never got in on the writer's ballot, and then those committees are 16-man committees. You need 12 out of 16 votes. It's much more like the NFL does it annually. The bare knuckle brawl, the smoke filled room, the Tammany Hall, all that stuff. That's how the committees work. Clemens and Bonds, I think, would have a hard time coming through those committees because it's a lot of old timers, right, hardliners, you know, Bob Fellow, not in my day, we were better, and, you know, resentful of the money. And again, the notion that people were quote unquote cheating or you know, not on the level, that's not going to be easy for those guys. So if they don't make it, they don't climb to that 75% in the next 3 years, it's going to be a really interesting topic for baseball because, as we said, they are the best hitter and pitcher of their generation. So I am holding the line on them. And what you need is you need guys like me to die off or give up the
vote.
No,
we're not rooting for that. We're rooting for you to come off the wall.
You know, generally, the younger voters it are less about it. And I understand it's impossible to be fair. And but this is not a court of law. Mm-hmm. This is an opinion. And so the standards that you measure your own standards and you go to your own conscience. And I've talked to a lot of players, and you know, you talk to guys who never got out of AAA, and they say, well, I never used anything. I could have been a big leaguer if I had gone to that next level. And they feel cheated by that. And we're never going to be able to quantify, you know, Bonds hit homers off pitchers who were using and who knows what. And, you know, you can't quantify any of those numbers. The numbers stay. That's why the numbers stay where they are. It's a very involved topic. But I'll tell you this, young Matt. If I come off the wall, they're all going in. If I come off the wall, I'm voting for Sosa. Mm-hmm. The man hit 60 homers three times. So you're not a Sosa guy.
No, but you know what? You could convince me. Put it this way. If it takes, you know, if Bonds and Clemens get in and you want to say put Sammy Sosa in, I'm fine with that. Put the best players from that generation in. Here's the thing, Dan. I think the approach to keep Bonds and Clemens and the players that we suspect or know were on steroids out of the Hall of Fame is hurting the game. Because I think the fans, and particularly the casual fans, look at that and they say, hold on, Harold Baines is in and Barry Bonds isn't. I mean, this is a farce. They, you know, the fans think that Hall of Fame voting has become an absolute joke. And the Baseball Hall of Fame, as you know, means more than any other Hall of
Fame. People love to argue about it.
And you know, and the only thing, you know, that you could ever say before this was what? Shoeless Joe Jackson and Pete Rose. And there are legitimate reasons to keep those guys out of the Hall of Fame. The steroid stuff. I mean, you can't tell me that Edgar Martinez wasn't juicing. Like, you're going to put Edgar Martinez in. He didn't hit 20 home runs until he was 32 years old. He was a skinny guy, and then all of a sudden, he's big like everybody else.
It's
like
weird.
Edgar Martinez wasn't juicing. Jeff Bagwell had, you know, biceps the size of a small European nation, and he's in there at 460 home runs.
Not on my watch. But I didn't vote for him.
And good for you. Good for you for holding the line on Jeff Bagwell. And Frank Thomas, like, he wasn't juicing. Jim Thome was built like a moose. Now, I know, you know, he's Gentleman Jim, and people think that he wasn't on it. You can't determine it. Just put the best players in. I really do think that that's the best approach. Well, put the best guys in.
Sammy Sosa's going to go in.
Then put him in. Put them all in, Dan.
Manny's a slam dunk.
Put them all in. Manny is the best right-handed hitter I've ever seen. And granted, I'm young. I didn't, you know, see the guys before me.
You're right.
From my lifetime, Manny Ramirez was the best right-handed hitter. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Put the best guys in. It's
even
really
Manny
dead.
Was caught cheating three times.
Yeah, everybody else was doing it too. Do I hold that against Manny? Yes. Was he still the best? Does that change his swing? The most beautiful swing I've ever seen?
No.
Hall of Fame swing right there. 617-779-7937. 0985. Off and running here on a Friday. Matt McCarthy and Dan Shaughnessy in for Zolak and Bertrand. Get to some Hall of Fame stuff today. Get to the Patriots. Phil Perry's going to join us a little bit later on. Celtics game last night as well. And your thoughts. 617-779-0985. Here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Ernie Shore was the perfect one. When Babe Ruth, he got the thumb. For a price, they sent him down to old New York. Things went bad till Cronin came. 46, they won again. The Sox had Tex and pesky team with Bobby Dorr. I'm talking baseball. Wes Farrell and Doc Kramer.
617-779-0985. Yeah, we're going to do a little old-time baseball stuff. You get Shaughnessy and me in a room together, you're going to get some baseball talk. That's just the way it goes. But it is timely because Dan has his Hall of Fame ballot due on Monday. He's got to get it out via horse and buggy. They'll take it out to Cooperstown. Maybe smoke signals, maybe lanterns to let people know if he's voting for Roy Halladay or Edgar Martinez. Those paper ballots right there. So old school, so baseball, it hurts. 617-779-0985. I know we're going to get some calls on this, so we might as well start it right now, Dan. Your thoughts on Curt Schilling, because he's probably another name that people are considering, a borderline guy. What did he have, like 53% last year? Where do you stand on Curt Schilling's candidacy for the Hall? I think we're going to have to get your mic on there. Hey, there we go.
I'm going to do everything here. Schill is at 51.2%, is trending backwards, a rare candidate. He's about 6 years on the ballot or so, I'm not really sure, but he's been a little bit higher than that in the 50s and going backwards somewhat. Very complex guy to vote for. First of all, regarding his candidacy, which is, it's borderline, and again, that doesn't make you bad. I mean, he is one of the great strike machines of the 20th century. I mean, I'm talking walk-to-strikeout ratio is just off the charts. He's 11-2 in the postseason. Mm-hmm. Pretty darn good. And he was a big game guy. Everybody knows that. Here in Boston, we know he came here on a mission. He got it done, the bloody sock, all that stuff. That's all there. Had a better second half of his career than first half. I mean, he was a little slow. He got moved around a little bit. You know, Baltimore, Houston, was kind of finding his way. And then, you know, Philadelphia, Arizona, back to Boston. He was just amazing. I thought what he did in when they won it in 07, he was really done. I mean, he had like a high school fastball, and but he was able to win on his smarts and his location and just being, you know, smarter than you were at the plate. You know, these guys didn't know how to approach and managed to win a couple of games in that postseason, which was phenomenal. So I'd have to look at my whole track. I try to vote for the same guys every year. I think that that's the best way. There's been guys I've been talked out of. I remember Garvey I voted for at the beginning, and I said, gee, his total's not very high. What I thought, and I've talked to more National League guys, and they were like, nah, he take a better look at him. And ultimately, I think I didn't vote for him. But most guys, I like Tion, I started voting for, I stayed with till the bitter end, the whole bit. And there's that. So with Schilling, 2 or 3 years ago, he's a borderline candidate, and his behavior has just become, this has nothing to do with his politics. I don't care if he's Republican, Democrat, Independent, Bull Moose Party, whatever, you know, knock yourself out. But his activities, you know, calling Adam Jones a liar, you know, promoting lynching journalists, these kinds of things on, it's just, and then some of these sites, I mean, some of the crazies who've been rounded up in our country in the last year, he's popular on these sites that they visit. And it's just, I don't want to be, he's got to, I don't want to honor this at this point in my, you know, if he were a slam dunk candidate, it'd he be easy in. To look the other way. But when you're a borderline candidate, I consider him a menace to society at this point. So he is still he's on the shelf for me.
Here's the thing. When you're a borderline guy in anything in life, like, all right, me, part-time fill-in guy, you think I can go out and go into Mike Thomas's office here and start, you know, acting up a little bit? No, when you're a borderline guy, you can't do that. Could Mike Felger do that? Maybe. Could I do that? No. 617-779-0985. Not that Felger would do that anyway. Bill's in Arlington. What's going on, Bill? Hello, Bill.
Hello, Bill.
Hey, Bill, what's going
on? Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Great show. So, Dan, I couldn't agree with you more about Schilling's politics and his insane behavior, but That said, I think that he really changed the culture of Red Sox more than anybody. And I think that you can't dismiss the fact that he's a big game pitcher. I'm on the fence about steroids like yourself. Yeah. I mean, I totally understand why people take steroids. If I could make millions of dollars by simply taking a pill, I probably would, and I think most people would too. So I don't fault people for doing it, but that doesn't mean they get into the Hall of Fame. But yep. When it gets to Schilling, I think fundamentally he really was more than his statistics. He was
changed
the culture of the team, and I think you have to account for that.
I'm accounting for all those things.
The guy is totally insane when it comes to politics and all the other stuff that goes on, but I don't see what that has to do with baseball, honestly.
I understand what you're saying. Well, this is the Hall of Fame. It's an honor. And again, if you just talk baseball with him, his win total is about the same as Jerry Royce. His comps come down like with Doc Ellis, Jerry Royce. I mean, it's not the slam dunk that some people like to think it is. That's why more people have not voted for him than have voted for him in his history on the ballot. He's gotten less than 50% of the total votes cast since he went on the ballot. That tells you, you know, 500 baseball writers, the majority are saying no to him since the jump, although he's crept over 50% now. So it's not some outrageous vote to not vote for Curt Schilling.
So does Jack Morris being in, is he going to change that a little bit, or are the writers too dug in on Schilling because of his erratic behavior? Listen, Schilling has seen his vote go down, and that almost never happens. So
yeah,
clearly,
very rare.
He's scared off some writers. It sounds like, you know, you included, and you know whether you think that's the way it should be. I mean, it is the way that it has been with the voters. But does Jack Morris getting in, is that going to change some people, or are they too dug in on Schilling at this point? Because he's got, I think, 4 years left somewhere in there.
Yeah, three or four left. And I mean, Schilling, in my view, was a better pitcher than Morris. I just, you know, and I voted for both of them at one time or another. Morris did not make it on the writer ballot. You know, win totals, a lot of the younger writers, that's a suppressed number now. People don't care about them as much. Wins are overvalued. That gets into the whole Cy Young thing. You can win the Cy Young Award with 11 wins and all that sort of thing. So, but I think that, you know, Morris had the big game thing that Schill has, you know, those kinds of things. I don't think it'll change Schilling's total, the Jack Morris factor. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Baines thing has got a lot of people out of sorts about a whole nother category of what about Dwight Evans, Tony Oliva, Dale Murphy, and the people who were as good or better who never got a sniff of the Hall of Fame. Harold Baines never got 7% of the vote from the writers, and now he's in the Hall of Fame. And poor Harold, we all love him, but it's like he's in the Hall of Fame, so great for him, but it's going to be awkward, to say the least.
Give me a break. I'm sorry.
Cooperstown.
Harold Baines, really? I mean, this is what it's come to, Dan. And again, the casual fan, just your regular, you know, Joe baseball fan out there, looks at this and says, okay, Harold Baines is in the Hall of Fame, but Barry Bonds isn't. Manny Ramirez isn't. Yeah. Sammy Sosa, Mark McGuire. Harold Baines.
Yeah.
For years, we kept DHs out of the Hall of Fame because, you know, they didn't play the field. You know, there was an entire generation of DHs that didn't get in. Harold freaking Baines, like, this guy is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Dan, it's become a joke. And, you know, I love the Hall of Fame. I love baseball more than just about anybody. But you look at this and you say, how is this legitimate?
Well, what I would tell you is this, for all the bashing of the BBWAA, which everyone,
well, you guys got it right,
loves to do, they are better at this than those committees are.
It's a fair point.
Because the BBWAA never gave Harold Baines more than 7%. Now he's in the Hall of Fame because of the committees.
Because of somebody like Tony La Russa, who went to bat for Harold Baines, and if you saw his thing with Mad Dog, what a joke that was.
The big name in the room on that, of course, was Jerry Reinsdorf, the Prince of Darkness.
Give me a break.
Who was the owner of the White Sox. Ran the meeting, and again, that's the old bare-knuckle brawl, Tammany Hall, you know, smoke-filled room, and 16 guys, and they needed 12 votes, and Reinsdorf got them. La Russa was one, Pat Gillick was one. I know a guy in the room who, Stedfitz, he would not go for it, and he held out, but they're not allowed to talk about what they did. I didn't see the thing you're talking about. I guess Tony was pushing back pretty hard.
Yeah, he was on with Mad Dog, and Mad Dog basically said, why is this guy in the Hall of Fame? And Tony, Mad Dog, I think, asked him, what did he lead the league in? At any point, and all Tony could come up with was, well, I think he had a couple seasons where he led the league in game-winning RBIs.
That's a bad stat. That stat's been totally invalidated, yeah.
Bravo.
And again, he was, one thing you look at sometimes is like top 10 MVP, and
never.
He's just not, wasn't
it? If he's a Hall of Famer, should have a year or two in his career where he wins an MVP.
Do you know no.
Why not?
Because longevity, excellence over in the 80s and 90s, almost every one of the offensive stats that people trust, he was in the top four or five for 20 years.
All right.
What a joke. What an absolute joke. And you know, and here's the thing, Dan, it's pushing fans away. It really is. And I think the steroid thing too, and I know you're not coming down off that wall, I think that's pushing people away. And I know the BBWAA didn't let somebody like Harold Baines in, or they didn't let Alan Trammell and Jack Morris. But when you see these middling guys, borderline guys at best, I mean, Baines isn't even a borderline guy. He's not a Hall of Famer. When you see them getting into the Hall of Fame, fans have a tendency to kind of push away. And I think that's what's happening in baseball.
Yeah, I think there was one year, the Dawson year was bad that way. Andre Dawson, you know, nice guy, good five-tool player, but not necessarily a slam dunk Hall of Fame. And I think he went in alone, I think. And again, this is at a time when much more celebrated, much more dramatic eyeball test guys were not getting in because of the usage.
Barry Bonds not in. Roger Clemens not in because of people like the man to my left, Dan Shaughnessy. He's not coming off the wall. Thanks, I've got 3.5 hours to convince him. His ballot's not in yet. I'm going to try and convince you for the next 3.5 hours. We'll see. We'll get to the Pats as well. Celtics later on. 617-779-0985. Matt McCarthy and Dan Shaughnessy in for Zolak and Bertrand.
I would love to get into a legitimate confrontation debate where we pull out the stuff that we looked at, and you tell me that weak-ass superficial bullshit that you look at, I guarantee you.
You think he's a better player than Steve Garvey?
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Why not us?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, you know there's going to be some baseball talk when you get in a room with Dan Shaughnessy. 617-779-0985. We'll hit the Pats and Celtics a little bit later on in the program. Phil Perry will be joining us at 11:30, so we'll get some Pats thoughts there. But right now we're taking your thoughts on the Hall of Fame. Tom has a thought on that. What's going on today, Tom?
Hi. Just a quick question. If you come off the wall, will you vote for Rafael Palmeiro? And
yes.
What about Andy Pettitte?
Well, first of all, Palmeiro's off the ballot. So that opportunity won't be there if I did come off the wall, because he came and went. And again, the guy hit 500 home runs.
Gold glove first baseman, 569 home runs, nearly a .290 average.
He disappeared from the ballot like in a blink of an eye. People were really put off by him wagging his finger to everybody and then getting caught like a couple years later.
Period. I did not do steroids. So, period. Positive test 3 weeks later.
So there was that. What was your other question?
He was asking about Andy Pettitte.
Oh, Andy Pettitte. Yeah, so Pettitte... let me look here. Is he
even on the ballot
yet? So this is
yet?
His first year
okay.
on the ballot, yes. And it's interesting. I'm not taking him that seriously.
3.85 ERA. Just too high.
I mean, obviously he pitched in a lot of big games because they were in so many.
Right.
I mean, he was,
part, he was a of Yankee.
That, part of that thing. But, yeah, that's a good example right there. And I never thought of Andy Pettitte as Hall of Fame caliber. And I think that when you play in New York and you're in the limelight that often, if you're not like automatically passing the eyeball test, like with Jeter and Rivera, it's not like, oh, gee, just because he's in New York. No, it's because they were really great. I think Pettitte in this case, it's somewhat just because he was in New York, a really good pitcher. And not to mention, he has a PED. I mean, he was caught, fessed up to it, moved on, and he handled it better than anybody ever. But it doesn't take away that, if I'm going to punish guys that was never even proven, than a guy who fessed up to one, I'd have to stay on the wall for that, too.
617-779-0985. You mentioned Mariano Rivera, who I believe is the only person that you are on record saying you were voting for.
Correct.
This weekend.
I think it's...
We've got a weekend to convince you on Bonds and Clemens.
Right.
I'm going to do my best.
We're not supposed to disclose our ballot, but I'm okay disclosing. I am going to vote for Mariano Rivera.
Somebody who will not be voting for Mariano Rivera is a local writer, Bill Ballew from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette. Did you see this article?
I've heard so much about it, I feel like I have, but I've not actually read the article.
All right. Here's part of it, and this generated plenty of discussion this week. Bill Ballew from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette, on December 22nd, writing this: I'm not voting for Mariano Rivera for the Hall of Fame. And three people come to mind as part of the reason why. Craig Kimbrell, Adam Vinatieri, and Taylor Dakers. Who?
I don't even know who that is.
Kimbrell, of course, was the Red Sox closer last year, and his performance in the postseason was an abomination. True. When he pitched, Boston's victories felt like defeats. He was also 6-for-6 converting saves, a perfect record. in the Patriots' 32-29 Super Bowl victory over the Carolina Panthers, Vinatieri kicked a field goal with 9 seconds left to provide New England with its margin of victory, a play that was described as clutch and game-winning. However, Vinatieri missed a 31-yarder in the first quarter and had a 36-yarder blocked in the second.
Boy, that's negative.
On November 16th, that's even negative for us.
Yeah.
On November 16th, 2008, in Springfield, Dakers, a second-year goalie for the AHL Worcester Sharks, rest in peace, stopped a mere 11 shots, most from near the blue line, in a 3-0 victory to record the first shutout of his professional career. Asked after the game how excited he was, Dakers replied, quote, "To be honest with you, any living member of my family would have had a shutout tonight."
That's a great quote.
The point being is that the save, the baseball kind, is the lowest hanging fruit on the game's statistical tree. Closers are its naked emperors. And that is why Bill Belue would not vote for Mariano Rivera.
And
your thoughts, Dan Shaughnessy?
I'm with him on the save thing. I mean, again, nobody was tougher on Kimbrel than I was. He's got outstanding stuff. And I've always said, with a 3-run lead and a clean inning and a bunch of Orioles or Rays coming up, he's the best I've ever seen. 9 pitches, 3 up, 3 down, boom. I mean, the guy is just indomitable. But I thought, you know, he got a lot of cheesy saves, and he seemed to be only able to be at his best in a save situation.
Right, a clean inning,
not particularly 2-run lead, useful coming in the eighth, or high leverage situations in general. And of course, the postseason, he was just nervous. He couldn't get his hand dry. I mean, and Bill's right. The victory's feeling like defeats. I mean, the 5-0 win against the Yanks in game one, he made it a 5-4 game at the end. It was stuff like that happening all over the place. When they clinched it in New York, that fly ball to the warning track, it was all him. His ERA was over 6, and Bill points out 6-for-6 in save opportunities, so he never blew a save. Well, I never voted for Trevor Hoffman. I never voted for Lee Smith. I think that the 3-out save is an abomination. I love Dennis Eckersley, and he was an easy Hall of Fame vote because he did both.
Right.
He was a 20-game winner as a starter, and he was clutch. He's postseason. He's MVP of a regular season. Mm-hmm. He's MVP of postseason series. And the 9-up, the 9 pitches, the 3-up, 3-down, he could do that in more than just a 3-run lead situation. He could do it with a 1-run lead. He could do it against the Red Sox. He could strike out Wade Boggs. I mean, a guy like Bruce Sutter, who developed a pitch and was unhittable in the time he pitched, another category. Rich Gossage, who would have routinely 2-, 3-, 4-inning saves, another category. I'm okay with a relief pitcher being in the Hall of Fame, but the cheesy saves and the LaRussaization of baseball and Kimbrel being a part of that, I just don't consider Rivera part of what we're talking about here. And Bill, I understand where Bill's coming from on this, and to his credit, he didn't want to be the holdout, get off my lawn, I'm not voting for him. So he just did not vote. If you send in a ballot that's blank, that is a vote, and those votes suppress other people's averages and whatever like that. So to not vote at all, in Bill's case, is more noble than sending in a blank ballot.
Yeah, as Bill Belue wrote, Rivera could be the first Hall of Famer elected unanimously. I think I'm right about closers, but not so much that I would deny Rivera a chance to be the first unanimous Hall of Famer. Thus, I'm not voting this year. I'm doing a Switzerland and not sending one in at all. I like that. I'm glad he didn't vote, because I think this argument, and again, I agree with you on the saves. I agree with you on closers in general. I'm keeping most closers out, like Craig Kimbrel. You know, his agent's saying he's the greatest closer of all time. And statistically, I mean, good God.
What do your eyes tell you?
Yeah, exactly. What do your eyes tell you? And my eyes tell me.
How many drinks did you need to watch those late innings?
A lot. And my eyes tell me, and I think everyone's eyes tell you, that Mariano Rivera is a Hall of Famer.
Oh, my God.
I think this is absolutely insane, but at least thank God he didn't vote.
Right.
And I agree with you on the save, but that is there something in the water supply out there in Worcester County, Dan? What the hell is going on? Because this right here, this 5-page article is nuts. 617-779-0985. Matt McCarthy, Dan Shaughnessy, in for Zolak and Bertrand here on this Friday.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like all these organ rejoins. I feel like you're at the ballpark.
Old-time baseball.
Old-time baseball. If you want old-time baseball talk, this is the show for you. Matt McCarthy and Dan Shaughnessy in for Zolak and Bertrand today. 617-779-0985. Get some Patriots thoughts at the top of the hour here. But before we close out our baseball hour, Dan, there's a reckoning coming on these steroid guys, and it doesn't sound like you're ready to come off the wall just yet. Maybe if I ask really, really nicely over the next 3 hours, maybe I can convince you. Next year, Derek Jeter is the only big-time first name on the ballot. He's going in on the first ballot. We know that. 2021, there are no first ballot guys when you take a look at that list. So, and that's the ninth year that Bonds and Clemens are going to be on the list. They're not getting in this year. Well, I mean, likely they were at 57% and 56%. We'll see if there's an uptick this year. 2021, their ninth year on the ballot. No big first namers, so there's going to be a first timers, so there's going to be a lot of focus put on them in that year. And 2022, in their 10th and final year on the ballot, it's going to be Clemens and Bonds and A-Rod and David Ortiz on the first ballot.
That is great.
And the pressure is going to be on people like you, Dan Shaughnessy, to get those guys in the Hall of Fame, you and John Heyman and the old guard, the people who are not coming down from the wall. The pressure's going to be on in the next
really
few years.
Interesting. I'm going to write more about that because Ortiz is getting in.
Yes.
First time up.
Well, because he got the pardon. He got the presidential pardon.
That's not going to do any good to Clemens and Bonds the way you've just described it. That will be their last year.
Right.
So then it's going to be, you know, too late. Sorry, guys. Because to me, once Ortiz gets in, that should be the crumbling of the wall entirely. Because
anyone does it all crumble at once, though,
and doesn't vote for Alex Rodriguez is just kidding themselves. I mean, just because Alex didn't get the presidential pardon, I mean, that's going to be really interesting. And for Bonds and Clemens to be in their final year of eligibility, the same year that David comes due with his first year of eligibility, because everything goes away when Big Poppy comes in.
Right.
Everyone loves him so much, and he was such a great player. Take a look at his career graph, his chart.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. No one has more obvious earmarks than David Ortiz. And it's
except for Edgar Martinez, of course. My guy, Edgar.
Well, he never spiked with, you know, he wasn't washed up twice and, you know,
right,
surged back and was better at 41 than he was at 21 or any of that sort of thing.
I mean,
you know, he didn't have those things. So, yeah, that'll be, and it's not going to be in time to do Bonds and Clemens any good. It's unfortunate.
But does it, though? Because, you know, when we get to 2022 and you're filling out that ballot and Bonds and Clemens are still there and you know David Ortiz is getting in. I mean, it just seems that way. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He got that presidential pardon. Are you going to look at that, Dan Shaughnessy, as somebody, as one of these guys on the wall, the people that are keeping Bonds and Clemens, the best hitter and the best pitcher of their generation, out of the Hall of Fame? Are you going to look at David Ortiz sitting on that
seat? I won't vote for any of them. It's easy.
Yeah. You're still not going to come down.
Right.
All right. We'll see. We'll see if you're doing that in 3 years.
Yeah,
you almost broke last year. I know.
I know
we can get you.
When I almost broke, and I wrote about it, that how close I was to finally just saying, let them all in, and that includes Sosa. When I wrote about this whole thing, I was surprised at the amount of support there was for this way of thinking. Not just old people either. I was surprised.
I am
not alone.
You said that, you know, when you fill out your ballot, you talk to guys in the Hall of Fame, you talk to your fellow writers.
This year I'm particularly troubled about a few guys. So
you take it very seriously.
Yes.
I mean, it's probably, I would imagine, one of the most important tasks.
It's a great honor, privilege. Yeah. Are you kidding? It's also a pain in the butt because it's impossible to be consistent and you look bad no matter what you do.
How much of an influence do current Hall of Famers have on your vote and the votes of other writers? Because I'm assuming you take their input. And it's very important to get the input of the guys who played against those players. You know, you see a letter like Joe Morgan sent out, last year or two years ago, basically imploring you guys.
Stay on the wall.
Stay on the wall. Yeah, stay on the wall. Does that have an impact on you?
Maybe not
the Joe Morgan letter.
Joe Morgan has never had any impact on my thoughts.
Right. Yeah, you and me both. After many years of watching Sunday Night Baseball.
I know what he was up to.
Does not have any impact on me.
That was not an effective missive. No, that was not effective.
But the
guys I know and trust that I can talk to, yeah, of course. I mean, they played it. They played it with and against these guys.
Right.
And they really know what they're seeing. And they're in the club. How do they feel about having XYZ in the club?
And they still don't want him in.
It's a case by case. And again, everybody's different. Case by case.
Are there guys in the Hall of Fame who are very supportive of having, you know, the Bonds and Clemens of the world?
By and large, no.
By and large, yeah.
By and large, no. Not a lot of forgiveness there.
All right. 617-779-0985.
I can tell you, Frank Robinson is not in favor. When Frank retired, he had 586 homers. He was fourth all time. He does not appreciate people who were cheating who were ahead of him now.
Now all of a sudden Harold Baines is in the hall. he can be there with Harold Baines and his 380 home runs as a designated hitter, he can sit next to Edgar Martinez with his 309 home runs when he gets into the Hall of Fame in a few weeks. 617. I'm 309 home runs as a designated hitter, and we're going to let that guy in the Hall of Fame, and Barry Bonds and Alex Rodriguez and all of these guys are going to be on the outside looking in. But Edgar Martinez, who didn't hit 20 home runs until he turned 32 years old, and then all of a sudden bulked up like everybody else, he's in the Hall of Fame. Oh, but he wasn't roiding. Jeff Bagwell wasn't roiding. Frank Thomas and all of these guys, they weren't roiding. But we're going to let these inferior players in. You got to pick the best. Here's my ballot, Dan, and I don't have a vote. Wish I did. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Manny Ramirez, Mariano Rivera. Let the best players in. Don't let anybody else in. And I know you kind of agree with that because you're a small hall guy, and you see all these writers saying, I wish I could vote for 17 players. I'm like, you got to be kidding.
How can you not vote for a man who hit 60 home runs three times?
You know what? You might convince me on Sammy Sosa.
I mean,
You might convince me. If you're going to put Bonds and Clemens and Manny in, you might have to put Sammy in.
It's 600 home runs.
All right. I will give you Sammy Sosa. If you give me Bonds, Clemens, and Manny Ramirez, I will give you Sammy Sosa. Is that a fair trade?
No, but I appreciate the way you're thinking.
617-779-0985. Just let the best players in. It's really the best way to do the Hall of Fame. Let the guys who deserve to be in, put them in. Don't put the Edgar Martinez's of the world in, please. All right, we can get some Patriots thoughts as well as we get ready for Phil Perry. More Hall of Fame thoughts, baseball, Celtics coming up later on in the program. Matt McCarthy and Dan Shaughnessy, and for the guys on this Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.